Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Many cultures have legends about omniscience, that state of knowing everything about everything. Some of these legends involve newborn infants, and they have similar themes. Shortly before being born, the gods or other higher beings instill the infants with knowledge of all that is. Over time, though, they lose their omniscience. Parents, teachers, other people replace their omniscience with that information they think it's important that the child should know. If you've ever held or just quietly watched an infant, let's say about 3 months of age, and they're aware of their surroundings, you'll see that look of all-knowing. It can be disconcerting at first. You get that distinct feeling when that baby locks eyes with you, that he or she knows more than you will ever know. The same thing happens with animals. Relative to domestic animals, and perhaps as a function of their physiological and behavioral immaturity, those moments may persist. You'll be so caught up in your busyness and in your world as you've defined it, and you'll look over at the dog or the cat, and they'll just be sitting there, perhaps looking at you or something else. But there's also something about them that gives you that same feeling, that they know a lot more than you do about a lot more things at that particular moment. So the question becomes, where did this blank slate mentality come from? I have no idea. It would seem necessary to do this to some extent, because otherwise, how would they know the rules of the game? If you have access to omniscience and you were living in a reality where there were definite limits, where there were rules and regulations and expectations, it would definitely be to your advantage to learn them. If for no other reason than if you didn't, you would be punished. But on the other hand, if you were omniscient, you would know that, wouldn't you? I don't really get how this works. But I do know that I feel sorry for children and animals whose human companions, in the case of the animals, are so determined to teach them that they just dive right in. I know I've mentioned this before and I'll mention it again, but I'm distressed about the amount of over-socialization that's being imposed on sometimes traumatized animals. Those who come from different backgrounds need time to become adjusted. Some animals, even from the very best kennels, may have more timid or cautious temperaments. Consequently, they're going to have a lower stimulus threshold. Throwing them into the deep end of a stimulus pool in the form of the local mall or a county fair, what's the logic behind that? Part of me would like to say, that's downright cruel. That's inhumane. On the other hand, I also know that that's the prevailing theory among some groups. And sometimes, you know, those timid animals or those more cautious animals, they're the best ones to give you a peek into omniscience. When I think about omniscience, I think about Ollie. Those of you who know Ollie would probably laugh. They would say, whatever that dog may be, he's not omniscient. And yet, there was a time when he was a very young puppy that he would look so thoughtful, so all-knowing, that a friend of mine named him Sage. This raises the question, did living with me make my dog more stupid? Naturally, my ego would like to say no. But when I think in terms of these legends, and knowing what I know about animal perception, and that they normally dwell in a world that is paranormal compared to mine, I'm not so sure about that.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.